Say we appreciate the songs and the meetings of them. You know, we all should desire to have a servant's heart. In order to have that, we got to have a place that we're dear to. And, I got that place in the little church in Logan County, Kentucky, in 1979. My wife got saved in the little church she was in. They put a road through it. They tore it down. And I believe she can still take it back to that spot. And, my daughter, I thank God, my daughter and both her sons have places that are dear to her, dear to us. Our youngest son was saved 25 years today after I got saved. You're talking about a blessing. Exact same day, but 25 years later. And that's wonderful. But it's good to be here. I ask y'all to pray for me this morning. Be honest with you, this last month or so has been very trying, very hard. Satan has unleashed untold things on us, and but you know God's good. Oh, we're still here. But do remember us in your prayers, and that I'll be able to get myself out of the way this morning and do God's will. I'm going to do I usually don't do this way, but I'm going to read a 91st chapter of Psalms. And I just want to use this for a background to back up what I want to preach on in the 91st chapter of Psalms. And, as we tried to study last night, got up early this morning and tried studying, you ever have to just stop and lay it down and leave it alone? And do a little thinking and praying and meditating. Done that, went upstairs and started watching a little TV with the family. And was getting sleepy there. I went to bed and I was wide awake. Still rumbling things over my head. And finally got to sleep about 12:30 this morning. But you know, God takes care of you. But start with the first verse of the 91st chapter of Psalms. It says, "He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress. My God, in Him will I trust. Surely He shall deliver thee from the snares of the fowl and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with His feathers, and under His wings shall thou trust thus. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terrors of night, nor the arrows that fire by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wastes at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Only with thy eyes shall thou behold and see the rewards of the wicked. Because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation. There shall no evil befall thee, neighbor shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over thee, to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and adder, the young lion, and the dragon shall thou trample under feet. Because he has set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high, because he has known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him, and I will be with him in trouble, and deliver him, and honor him. With long life will I safely him, and show him my salvation." You know, this chapter here, it's talking about God being our refuge and our strength, but you know, he don't promise that we won't have troubles and trials, that you won't get hurt, or that you won't be imprisoned, or that you won't get sick, or that bad things won't happen. But what he does promise is that he will deliver us through them. And I'm a strong believer that it takes those trials and hard times in our life to strengthen us and go through them to learn lessons and grow from them. Because if we had everything just fine and dandy, we'd be weak and lazy, wouldn't we? Hey, it seems like when most times when we find the trouble and sorrow, that's when we call upon God the most. And sometimes we question why it happens to us or why things happen. Like the young man I was talking about here before, Zach, you know his family's why. Why does our young son, who was a senior in high school and played football, get cancer? And the miraculous way, the way they found this cancer is that he got injured on the football field. Broke his collarbone. And they x-rayed that, and that's how they found the cancer. Now, if they wouldn't have broke his collarbone, that thing would have to him. Would they have found out about the cancer? Because see, that purpose there happened, I believe, to find the cancer. But then again, with the boy, when he kept going on playing football like he was playing, when he went off to college and then maybe just get all the way out of church? You know, we don't know those answers, do we? But God has a reason for all things, and he has a reason for the things we go through. We just got to go through them and come out the other side. And you know, as I was sitting over studying stuff and thinking, I was thinking about Jacob when he went to work to get Rachel, his wife, and he had to work, I think, over 20 years to get Rachel. The first time he got Rachel's sister. Then he had to turn around and work again for that same ornery, mean father-in-law to get the woman he loved. And now I believe Jacob grew stronger through this, and Jacob actually got to fulfill the promise that God made him. And then he wound up finally getting that son that he loved dearly, Joseph, and look what Joseph's brothers do to him. They sell him off into slavery, and they take him off over to Egypt, and Jacob, this young boy who was a very faithful young man that done for God and lived for God and God favored, went to prison and was cast in prison, accused by the soldier's wife of trying to take advantage of him. And got cast into prison. Then here come these two men getting cast into prison, and he interprets their dreams. And they forget about him for several years. One of them gets killed, and the other one, the Pharaoh kills him, but the other one, Pharaoh has a dream. And then the baker remembers that, hey, there's a fellow in your prison that can interpret dreams. Now this young man had been in prison for years. They take him before Pharaoh and he interprets these dreams. And Pharaoh sees favor in him and he becomes the leader of Egypt. And this young man has been put through all these trials and tribulations over several years of just unbearing things. But God didn't forsake him. He still was a shield and his strength and his love. And he called upon God daily, no matter how bad things got. And you know, he finally wound up, his brothers wound up coming over when that famine hit. And he sees his brother. He gets angry on him. He wants revenge at first. He's just like the rest of us. We want to lash out in anger. But yet he finally comes to his senses when he sends them back and asks if they got another brother. They say, yeah. They go back and get him. Bring him back. Well, he tricks him and locks his son up his brother up in jail, don't he? They go back and the father comes. I want to look what happens here. They get all them up in there and they wind up becoming the 12 tribes of Israel. The Hebrew children. And these children get stuck in bondage for 400 years. But then here comes another deliverer that faces perilous times. As Moses gets put in a basket and cast down the river, and Pharaoh's daughter finds him. Raises this young man up, and he winds up killing an Egyptian soldier and leaves off and goes off for 40 years. God says, go get my children and bring them home. What's his first response? I can't do that. I can't go face Pharaoh and his mighty army. I'm just one man, and I can't do it. I got a stammering tongue. I stutter. I can't do it. It's all these I can'ts. But we forget that you can do all things through Christ Jesus. And that's what Moses had to come to the sense to, that when he walked up before Pharaoh, and he did it with such boldness, that's what amazes me. A man who was sitting there saying, I can't. But when he come before Pharaoh, he stood boldly and he said, let my people go. And Moses comes very bold with God, don't he? And we can be, even as a church or individual, the things that we face daily, we become bold with God. Because God is our strength, and that's what we've got to realize, that He can take us through all things, no matter how hard it is. The funny thing is that we just started a little store there in Franklin, Kentucky, and it's not doing nothing. It's just dying. Now, we can't even pay the bills on it. That's how bad it is. I go buy an old truck, and we didn't have the money to buy it straight up, so we went to one of these buy here, pay here, rip off places. That's what they are. Paid probably three times more than what it's worth, just about. Or this one I did. We get it. We have the first 2 weeks. We bought it the first or second week of July. Well, people run for 2 weeks after that and never run. Left it on the side of the road four times. Last time we took the tent over to, it was last week. We took the tent over to the old union and put it up for the time capsule bear. It run perfect for 2 days. Just purred. I thought, wow, we got it fixed. We put a fuel pump on it, everything from rotary button, distributor cap, plug wires, plugs. It just quit firing totally. Even a coil. We'll blow the coil up, burn it up. Brand new coil. I put another coil on. It's running perfect. Now, we go there, we take it, it's over there. We said, we're going to leave the truck there, so we'll be back tomorrow. So we park around behind the church. We start taking the tent down. I go back and all you hear, rum. You pour gas in the carburetor, fire up, and blow flame up the muffler about that far. It wouldn't do nothing. So I called them up. I didn't get hateful now. I said, look, y'all just come and get it. I said, I'm tired of it. Y'all sold me a limb, and y'all just come and get it. They come and picked it up and took it back, and they said they had it fixed. They said it's just a hole in the fuel line. A hole in the fuel line doesn't make one backfire like that. Nobody knows that. But I wound up just telling them to keep it. I went to get the tags for it, and they're supposed to give me the tags. They had all this work done. I go, and there's no tag. A little sticker stick on there. I go to the courthouse to get that. They tell me we didn't give it to you. I just called them up yesterday. I said, look, y'all just keep it. Y'all fix it up and resell it. But you know, this is what's been going on. Oh, we're going, and when Glenda runs a daycare, she's down to two kids. We can't make it on two kids. And it's how God works through these trying times. I was sitting there in the store, and I was just trying to read and study and listen to God's music. I said, Lord, I don't want to do it. I need your help. We went back to the store that Saturday, and she got a text from Mama. Says, we'll call you like a job. And we sit there and ponder over and study. Well, I didn't want to go back to public work. But we found out what it paid, and Blinda sent up and figured it up. And after taxes, it pays every single one of our bills for the month. Now see how God works. It's not no great job. Matter of fact, know what I am? I'm a janitor in a factory. I drive a floor scrubber. I ride around the plant all day long, squeezing the floor and scrubbing. But thing is, see how God works. He gave me, all I asked him for, but I'll never forget that prayer. I said, Lord, just help me. Give me that which I stand in need of to provide for my family. Give me where I can provide for my family. And God did it. Now, just like he took Jacob and Joseph and Moses, and he delivered Moses right out of Egypt, and he brought the children, the Hebrew children, out of Egypt and took them to the promised land, even though he didn't get to go in, he did it. He did what God asked him to do, and he found favor with God. And it's the same way with each and every one of us. It may not be overabundance to what we need, but it's just what we need to do. Whether it's to stand up and proclaim God's word, or to lead singing, or to just talk to someone, God will be there with us. Whether it's in sickness or health, He's there. It's just that we need to stop looking for the big thing. And you know really what I had to stop and do? I had to stop whining and fussing. I had to stop pray, and then listen. And there wasn't no trumpet going off. It's just a small, still, peaceful feeling that everything's going to be all right. And it's not always what we think. All right's not always what we think's right. Like Brother Danny had at our uncle pastor church here in Russellville. He had a young kid get off a pistol years ago. They shot her in her leg. It was 44, I think it was, but blowed her leg out. They had her in the hospital, and they called Brother Danny, and he went in there, and they said, "Would you pray?" He did. He prayed. And they asked her, "Is you getting answered?" She said, "Yeah, Lord said everything's going to be all right." "So she's going to be okay?" He said, "No, Lord said everything's going to be all right." He said, "I can't tell you whether she's going to come out or not, but everything's going to be all right." In other words, if it dies, the child dies, she'll be all right. If she lives, she'll be all right. You will be all right. So it's not always what we expect. The answer isn't everything what we expect it to be. The answer is God's. And it's not always the path we choose. It's the path God chooses. And that path may be paved with trials and tribulations that are great and horrible. It's kind of like, you think about it, you're saved by the grace of God. You got beauty and love inside of you. But if you go plant a flower garden in the yard, you put all kinds of flowers out there, and you go out and get all kinds of beautiful flowers, you know what flowers attract? Bees. You go work in a garden, eventually you can get stung. You plant a rose bush out there, and rose bush is as beautiful as can be. I think a very beautiful flower. But you go fooling around that rose bush, you're going to get stuck. So in beauty, there is pain. Hey, it's just like a marriage, you know. A marriage is beautiful, but marriage isn't always a bed of roses, is it? I remember Brother Randall Belcher, the old preacher, said, sometimes marriage is 99% her, 1% you, and then sometimes 99% you, 1% her. What he was saying is that it's not 50-50 like people say it is. Sometimes one of you got to put more effort into the other one. He wound up taking care of his wife for several years with cancer and still pastored the church for the last 11 years. He'd come to church, leave his wife at home in bed, and go back home and tend to his wife. Come back to church and go back home and tend to his wife. What was he proving there? He had proven his love for his wife. She wound up passing away, but he took care of his wife. He said, all those years she took care of me. Now I take care of her. And even though it was trying, he still had love for that wife that was sick. It's the same way with church. You know, sometimes our churches get sick. And sometimes we got to get in there and we got to tend to them and pray for them and work and struggle to get through it. But yet we have to take care of the church. And the way to take care of it is get in and follow God's Spirit and His will and work it. The devil's no respecter of person. As a matter of fact, I want to go to Matthew, the 4th chapter. The devil's very ornery and mean, we know that. But he even had enough gall to go up against Christ for those 40 days. 4th chapter of Matthew, starting the first verse. And then when Jesus was led up, his spirit into the wilderness to tempt of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterwards hungry. And when the tempter came to him, he said, if thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. Now look at this. Does Satan say, look, if you be the Son of God, he found out, you know, he knows your weaknesses. He knew Christ was hungry. He had been fasting for 40 days. If you go fast 40 days, you're going to be starving, ain't you? And see, Christ had the power to say, there's food. He could have done it, couldn't he? But he didn't do it because the devil was tempted to say, if you be God, the Son of you, be the Son of God, prove it. And God, Christ told him, but he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of his mouth, out of the mouth of God. Then the devil taking him up into the holy city and set him on a pinnacle of the temple and said unto him, if thou be the Son of God, Cast thyself down, for it is written, He shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands thou shalt bear thee up, unless any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. Hey, you know, Satan took that whole thing out of context. You go and read where that's at. Later on, you find out later on down a chapter where he defeats Satan. Hey, you know, he's got the gall and the honorness and kindness to him to tempt the Son of God. So why wouldn't he come after us? But you know, we've got to remember what it says. It says that greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. So God is greater than Satan and more powerful than Satan. And we like to kid around and say, we read the back of the book, we know we win. But we got to fight while we're here. We got to work while we're here. And we got to face the things that Satan tempts us with daily. And he tempts us with things many times. It might be something little or it might be something big. But you know, some of the mistakes I have made, and I guess my wife made them too, is doing things about consulting God. You ever do that or get ahead of God? And why is it getting to be a mess? But we've done that. And sometimes we make mistakes and we got to look back on them and learn from those mistakes. And, you know, it seems like when we get ahead of God, that's when we really mess up. You know, he told me, I'll tell you a thing he showed me. He showed me one of these days, I'm going to get to go out and just do evangelist work. So I'm praying over it. He showed me when. He said, when Mindy's 18 years old. She's 10 years old right now. So we go out and buy a big old Winnebago and a trailer, and we get ready to go on this evangelistic journey. And we buy this right now. Well, people, after we bought that, I was out of work. I couldn't pay my bills. I couldn't pay for the money we borrowed for the Winnebago. So we got in a big old mess. And God told me, I told you, when she's 18. Not now. So see, I had to face that consequence and overcome that big mistake I made by leaping ahead of God. Just like when the man from Macedonia, Paul, saw that vision of the man from Macedonia. Paul was ready to go, wasn't he? He's ready to dash right over to Macedonia. God said, no. You stay right here for right now. You'll go one day. Well, I recall Paul got to go. But it's all on God's time. And we can't rush God because God is God. He's got his own time clock. And he works the way he pleases to work, not the way we like to. But these are some of the trials we face. Some of them just flat out trials of patience. And that's hard to get. You know, I believe out of all them fruits of the Spirit, that's one of the toughest ones to master, isn't it? Patience. Temperance. All them work together. But you got to be that way. Because God's waiting to bless, but we got to wait for Him. And that's the way you grow. You know, we tell our kids to have patience. They come on, they want a drink of water, or they want some ice cream, or something like that. Just wait. But boy, somebody tells us to wait, it's like, oh, I can't. I'm going crazy. But Christ gets tempted here, and He's saying, look, make some rocks, take these stones out of bread. Well, Christ knew when He gets done with Him, He gets to go eat. But first He has to fight Satan. And sometimes we have to fight Satan to get over to the part where we need to be. And what that is, that's a way to get us to where we need to be when we get to where God wants us to be. It's just like starting out as a young child of God when you got saved. You didn't start out seasoned. It was all novice, wasn't it? It's all new to us. But it takes years and years to grow in God. It takes years and years for a preacher to reach the point of where he's a Brandon Poole, he's a Brother Moran, or he's a Brother D. Russell. I'll never get there. But it took these preachers years and years to get where they got. And it took patience, it took prayer, it took studying. It's the same way for each and every one of us. It takes years to get where God wants us. But remember, He's the potter and we're the clay. And it takes a while to make that pottery work right. You got to beat it, work it, water it, and work it. And when the mess is up, you got to beat it back down and start all over again. Well, He does that with me every once in a while. He beats me right back down to where I get down where I need to be. But he goes on down here, and Satan's tempting Christ, tells him to get himself down from there. And Jesus said unto him, it is written again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. So see, God's fighting Satan. Satan's using God's word out of context and twisting around like a lot of our modern day churches do. But then Christ turned around, fires right back with him with his very own word of God. And Christ don't take it out of context. He tells it just like it is, and he goes on down and says, and again the devil taking him up into an exceeding high mountain and shows him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them, and said unto him, all these things will I give thee if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Now that's what I think is sad today, is that a lot of our people have fallen into this materialistic thing. They want, and is this what God wants you to have? If it's not, it's no good. I believe a lot of our people are getting so far in debt that they can't make the church. I got to work. Said Satan, Tim, look, I'll give you all this. If you go take this job that God don't want you to have. I believe it happens, folks. I truly do. That's another mistake I've made. The highest paying job I ever had in my life, I was a maintenance man in a hospital. I mean, made really, really good money. We couldn't pay our bills. Why? Because 2 weekends out of the month, I was on call. Because of the hospital maintenance man. I had to carry a beeper and a cell phone on me in the church. If it went off, I had to answer the call. It was miserable. I had to turn down appointments like this far away because I couldn't be more than 45 minutes away from the hospital. You called and I was on call this weekend. I said, no, I can't come. See, I had to put my job before God. Well, I stayed there, I think, 2 years. I think it was. And I finally got where I just forget it. I take the beeper off, the phone off, and I throw it in the car seat. I said, they can fire me if they want. I started taking appointments, even on the days I was on call. And I told them, look, I'm a preacher. I can go preach God's word. And Sunday's my day. I'll answer the calls when I get out of church. I never got fired. But the thing is, see, I took a great paying job, making really good money, and money didn't go nowhere. So what the Bible says, love of money is the root of all evil. Well, I believe love of materialistic things is another thing that's the root of evil. We want, we get ourselves into debt, and then we're forced to work. The Bible says, I don't know of no man nothing. Nothing. In other words, well, I think what you're saying is don't get yourself so far in debt that you can't serve God. And that's the way the devil works. See, he tempted Christ here with, look, you can have all this, but what is it, Christ? It's all his anyway. But the devil works it when he works the same way on us. We see something we want. I like what Dave Ramsey said. Anybody watch him or listen to him? I think he's a pretty good fella. His philosophy is you don't start out at a young age like your parents who've been working 30, 40 years to have a house. You start out just like when you were born. You start out with diapers, then you start crawling, then you start walking. And then you start out eating baby food, then you get on the meat and taters. But that's the way it is with God. As a young child of God or something, you start out small. And then you grow in the graces of God and you grow stronger. It's just like these hybrid trees you can go buy. You can buy these trees that grow really fast and big quick. That they have mutated together. Let a storm come by. That tree will split right down. But you go plant over hickory tree or oak tree that's natural, that's true hickory or true oak, it'll take it 30, 40 years to grow big on it. But that joker will stand this strongly rooted. And that's the way we need to do with our young ones, is take them and teach them, nurture them, and let them learn and show them by example. In other words, do God's will, be patient, be kind, be loving, and be all these things. And most of all, walk with God. And Christ tells them in his 10 verses, then Jesus said unto him, get thee hence, Satan, for it's written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, only shall thou serve. Then the devil leaving him, and behold, angels came and ministered unto him. I believe if we stand strong for God and face Satan with God, we can defeat Satan. How just as Christ did right there, we got to tell Satan, get the hint, get out of here. How we don't need you, we don't want you, we only serve the Lord thy God and Him only. And I believe that works. You stand up for God, you stand with God, Satan cannot win. You might get bruised, you might get battered, you might get hurt, but you can overcome it. Paul went in that city there and got stoned and cast out. They cast him outside the city. He got stoned, y'all. They stoned this man, but yet he turned around, got up off the ground, and went right back into the city. And done God's will. But you look at these apostles, they are great examples of trials and tribulations. And they are great examples of strength. When Paul was in prison there and locked up with him and the Philippian jailer, he didn't grumble or grind, did he? He sang songs and hymns. And a quake came and shook and everything fell off, and that man got saved. Peter laid in prison there, laid and went to sleep. He got so comfortable in that prison that he ungirded, took his clothes off, took his shoes off, laid them down. And what did the church start doing for Peter? They commenced praying, didn't they? That God would deliver him out of that. And the angel come and had to wake Peter up, smote him on the side, get up, boy. Put your shoes on, put your garment on, let's get out of here. And he walked out through the doors with the guards right there. And the last door, he walked right out and walked out of the city. And went to that home and knocked on the door and thought, boy, it must be a ghost or something. But it was Peter, wasn't it? But see how God delivers. He don't promise to be easy. You think about them old prisons back then, they were nasty, dirty, filthy, and very unsanitary. But yet these men sit in. And look at another good example of trials and tribulations. Paul again, when he went for Augustus and Felix and Caesar. God told him then, he says, you will speak to kings. Peter could have got out, and Paul could have got out of that prison. He had a chance to be released. He says, no, I want to appear before Caesar. The ship got tossed around. They had to swim to shore. Got bit by a snake. But yet, he appeared to Caesar. And what did he do before Caesar? He told him about the Lord. He thought this man said, no, I'll wait. I think it's 3 years he's in prison. Right there at it. But yet he went through all this to do what God wanted him to do. And sometimes we got to go through things that we don't necessarily like. But to do what God wants us to do, we must endure and keep going. And be strong in His grace and His faith and do His will. God does deliver. He don't promise you you won't get stuck by a thorn from a rose. He don't promise you you won't get stung by a bee. The devil's out there. And he wants to take us down. He wants to discourage us. He wants to bring us down and say, hey, it ain't worth it. But I'll tell you what it is. It's worth the lost soul getting saved. It's worth the church growing and truly growing. I'll tell you, a lot of times I think just because somebody comes to join the church, we're growing. That's not growing. You're just borrowing another member from another church. When it truly grows is when it comes up off the altar of prayer saying, I thank the Lord I'm saved. That's truly growing. And that's what we don't see enough of today. We don't see enough of that. It seems like one gets saved, oh, wonderful. But yeah, it's great when one soul gets saved. My wife went digging through some old pictures. I'll be done here in a second. She went digging through some old pictures. Bowed down the building when we was cleaning it out. Well, she was cleaning it out. And these pictures of my family. Some I don't even know. I wish some of my aunts and uncles still around. All my aunts and uncles are dead, but one or two. But pictures I don't even know. And she lays a few of them out, and I get to looking at them. One of them said September 1966. I'm like, wow, I was 2 years old. I had a picture of my dad sitting there. He's standing on the banks of a river, Brother Merle Ellis baptized him. Now, my daddy was saved October 10, 1939. I'll never forget his testimony. But he never joined the church until 1966. But what was amazing to me is when I looked at the picture, it said the long line of people standing in that river. Not one. A long line. The next picture was my oldest brother is 10 years older than I am, 11 years older than I am. 1968. A different pastor, but another long line of souls that were lost, saved. You don't see that anymore, do you? Our name was lined up. And that old preacher just had to go, dunk, dunk, done. I'm baptized with one head and repeatedly do it over and over again. But you know what's wonderful about that? That soul's been saved. But through all this time, my daddy and I look at another one. I find his license where he likes to preach. 1968. That's the ordination papers, 1975. And that's the history of my family. But think about it, of enduring, they had 7 children. 7. Now somewhere before that, my older sister was saved before 1968. She was saved back in 1950s, something, late 50s, something is what they said. But yet all that endurance and that patience and all the hardship they faced, all 7 children got saved. And that's something worth being patient for, isn't it? That's something worth during hardships and heartaches and the work that they did to see their children saved. And that's what it's all worth. That's what this is really talking about. You may face these problems, but God is with us. But we got to endure and keep going for the lost souls that are in our families. And you know, I don't like separating families because your lost grandkids or your kids are my lost too. Because we are all family. We're in God's family. If one of us is struggling and one of the churches is struggling, the other churches ought to help. If one member is struggling, everybody ought to help. I like what he said about that the little lady who always sends the cards out. You know, she's doing an act of love. Unselfishness. And yeah, I agree with it. That poor lady's sick. Y'all need to show her the same love right back. Because that's God's family. That's the love of it all. Well, let's endure through the hard times. Because I believe we're going to face a whole lot more. Just look at the way this country's going. It's getting pitiful and awful. But God will deliver us through. That's my message.
Thank you. to say we enjoyed being here today, and I think he's right. The water lasts about an hour. But it's been good to be here. Anybody got anything on their heart this time? Appreciate this. That's true. If God says it's all right, it's all right. No matter what it is. It's sometimes it's trying. One thing is really trying for us, we had a tent revival the first week of September, and we went to put the tent up down in Scottsville in an apartment complex, and Mindy was playing on a big old rock right there by where we're putting the tent up. And gunshot rung out, a bullet. She happened to turn, the bullet went right beside her and busted the ground out through there. I literally heard the whistle of the bullet. But that's one of the things that wound up, one of those trials we went through this month was still going back over there and having a tent revival. Our first reaction was, Wendy, I know her first reaction was, she's ready to go. That's my daughter. It scared me to death, and I didn't say nothing, but it did. It bothered me. And evidently the bull was shooting at the maintenance tech that worked in that place. He was walking right down through there too. But they couldn't prove it was the bull who did it, but they still wound up evicting the boys because they had a whole lot of trouble out of them. But what come of that revival, and funny, my dad, the truck, the fuel pump went out the end. We had everything loaded on it, heading to the site. And we put the tent up the day before, stopped down and get some skeeter spray to keep the skeeters off people. And it tore up. Here I had the piano, pulpit, 50 chairs on the back of my truck. And I had no way to get it there. It was 6:30, the revival started at 7 o'clock. And here come her daddy along. We loaded some stuff up in his van. And one of the brothers helped me, Brother Timmy Sellers, here he comes flying up in his truck. And we sling the stuff out of my truck over to his truck. And at 7 o'clock, we had everything set up. In 7 days of the revival, 21 messages were preached. In 7 days. Now you tell me God don't bless. They counted, many counted, 41 people sitting out around about, not up under the tent, but around that apartment complex listening on one night. And every night was almost like that. The people come out and sit in their chairs on the ground, and kids were playing on a basketball court, and they'd sit down and stop playing basketball and listen to preaching. Now, Lord told me to gently call young preachers that never have done this before. We got a lot of young preachers don't know what tent revivals are. The only one ever done one before was Brother Timmy Sellers. He'd worked several of them up there with me. But me and Timmy sit there that week and watch young preachers. We didn't schedule no preachers, no nights. We said, whoever's got it goes. One would get done, the next one would jump up right away. Another one would get one night, five preachers preached on a Saturday night. Now God delivers through all that turmoil and all that trouble at the start of that week. But look how He blessed. Now, I won't get back to preaching again. I just want to tell you all that. It's a blessing to work for God. When you have 21 messages preached in 7 days, people heard this and they was astonished. How can that many preachers preach one night? Well, God. Some nights we was there till 9:30. But you know what? Sitting in those old hard metal chairs didn't bother my back at all. Didn't bother nothing. It's a blessing every night. It's just like coming here. It's a blessing to come here. Even though I had to fight the Titans football traffic and the crazy idiots on the interstate, it's worth it.
But it's good. But anybody else got anything on their heart? We all are praying, pray for a little church up in Simpson County, Kentucky. The pastor had to give it up because his sickness, he's gone blind. He's very bad sick. Brother Ronnie Spears, older preacher, very wonderful man. We heard yesterday the church has gone down just in meeting on conference. It went from 40-something people. The last we heard was like 4. And the sad thing is, it's only the church in that community. But y'all remember that church in prayers that people would go over and help bring them back. That they wouldn't give up and shut the doors. That's a sad thing. When churches shut doors, that's another door shut for lost souls. And they don't need no doors shut. They need them all open. But remember that little church. It's a wonderful little church. I've been here several times preaching. But they're gone to just meeting on conference. And my experience of that is when they start doing that, they're fixed to shut the doors. And they're that discouraged. And see, that's the devil winning. And he don't need to win. But remember that little church. Just mention in your prayers. It's a scary thing. Because Brother Spears went over and they went about a handful going. And he got it built back up to 40 people with the Lord's help. And he's a very good preacher, but sickness has taken him. His age has taken him. And he can't see nothing but images right now. He can't even see to read. But he came up to Western and taught a lesson to the college students we're up there with. And his granddaughter read the text. And that man quoted more text than his granddaughter read. And done a wonderful job and blind. God can still use you. You just got to find a place where he can use you at. Anybody else got anything on their heart? Remember, tonight we got to leave here and go to New Harmony in Logan County, Kentucky. And we'll preach here at 5 o'clock. So it's a pretty long trip, but we'll be all right. And remember, us, we'll be starting a revival at Happy Hall in Russellville, Kentucky next Sunday night. Helping over there. So they got several lost souls. It's a church busting with young people. I'm an old geezer there. Compared to a bunch of them, they're young congregation. But that's a blessing. They got about 5 or 6 little ones that's lost. And eight that's lost. So it's a fertile ground. Just pray that God will just give me and Brother Lord have mercy. Brandon Ellis. Know this boy since he was born. I can't remember his name. Brother Brandon Ellis, he'll be helping too. But members in this. Anybody else got anything on their heart? Anybody else got anything on their heart?
Brother Sanders, that made me remember that next weekend is the Indiana Fellowship, the Ladies Fellowship up there, and several of us are traveling by way of van. I'm going to be driving 14 precious souls on that bus. But we all pray for us to get up there safely and return home to our families safely and be with the women that are speaking here in that little church up there that's following that fellowship. They some sweet young folks up there, those young pastors and their precious families, and I ask you all to pray for them. Once again, just remember that we can get home safe.
Okay. Just remember this. If you ain't been up there lately, when you get about halfway to Louisville, you hit construction. And it's all the way up to Indianapolis on I-65. It's a mess when you get to Louisville. They're taking the old bridge out and putting a new one in. You have to cross it from there all the way up to Columbus, Indiana. It's a mess. It's one lane a lot of the way. It's still there. Yeah. But it's always dangerous traveling that way. But remember them in your prayers, and hope they do have a safe trip. Anybody else got anything on their heart? If all hearts and minds at ease, I guess we'll be dismissed. Brother, would you dismiss us?
Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for this Lord's sake. Thankful to have the Father preaching on this public place, the center for the message and cross. Lord, we pray that you would bless him and his family as they go into this life. Bless all the requests, Lord, that you've made from time to time. I pray that you would bless us, Heavenly Father, that we would be here today. I expect next morning time. Just pray for the blessings we have.
Yeah.